I've told many different stories, and I think I told the story about when I first became, well, before I became a Christian. I was working as a dishwasher in a restaurant that was less than stellar. I won't tell stories about the Maple House, that was the place I worked in Detroit. But one of the waitresses befriended me, and I was a little bit of a heathen, to say the least. And she was a Christian, and she took time to listen to my story and to spend time with me, even though my mouth was not, I used a lot of four-letter words. You guys know anybody like that? I hope it's not you or your spouse. But the bottom line is, she took some time to listen to me. And when the right time came, she talked to me about Jesus, which is important. But you know, the key to be able to have somebody listen to you when you're talking to them about Jesus is that they know, one, that you're a friend. Okay? There's nothing worse than having somebody come to your door and unload on you, especially when you got to go somewhere, go to work or something like that. Or have somebody come and preach at you. Have you ever had that happen? Nobody? Well, that's good. But somebody came and visited me, and they put up with a lot of my baloney in order to reach me for Jesus. And this is really the key, because you are Christ's witnesses, but how do you do it? And this is going to be more of a recap, because we've gone over this before, but I want to review this. I think we need to go over this more than once. And so we need to review, how do you reach other people for Christ? How do you witness? What do you say to people who are the aliens out there, who are so totally different than you, you don't know what to say to them, you don't know what to do? So, first of all, let's turn, we're going to look at a few scriptures first. Turn to John chapter 4. You know what story this is, John chapter 4? The woman at the well. Was she a witness? Ah, she became one. John chapter 4, starting with verse 28. We're going to take a look. And was she an experienced witness? How long had she been talking to Jesus? We don't know. Okay? Maybe a half an hour, maybe an hour. So she didn't have a lot of preparation. She didn't have a lot of training. But what she did have is enthusiasm. She says, this guy is different. Okay? Let's take a look at what she said. John chapter 4, verse 28 says, the woman then left her water pot. She went her way into the city and said to the men, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Did he tell everything? Just one or two. Is this not the Christ? And what happened? They all said, woman, you are crazy. What did they do? Verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came to him. So she brought, I don't know how many, she brought like half the city. How would you like to be able to do that kind of witnessing? You just go and talk to a few guys and they all come, the whole church fills up. Okay? So what did she do? What did she do? How could we learn from what she did? One, she was willing to speak up. Okay? And two, she says, let me tell you what? My experience. Okay? She didn't say, you better keep the Sabbath. There's a time for that, but you got to say it a little nicer than that. Okay? But she said, let me tell you about somebody who told me everything that I did. I mean, who knows this kind of stuff except the Messiah? And so she told her experience. And how did the disciples witness when they went into town? Remember, the disciples went into town too. What did they come back with? Did they come back with food? Maybe a little bit. And they said, Jesus is talking with this woman. What? What's with him? Why is he talking to, one, a woman, and two, this is a woman that was less than stellar. Just think about how great the disciples witnessed. Did they say anything to anybody in town? They probably bargained for some food, and then they left. So if you're going to be a witness, you can't just go into town, go to Walmart, buy stuff, and come home. You got to do a little more than that, right? Okay? And the disciples came back, and Jesus said, come on, guys. And go down to verse 35, John 4, 35. And Jesus says, say not there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white to harvest. And he said, watch this, guys. Let me show you how it's done. So the disciples sat back, and they realized that this lady, who they were complaining about, because they came in, they found Jesus talking to the lady. She goes into town. She comes back with the whole, 3/4 of the town. We don't know how many, but quite a few. And they say, whoa. And you know what they probably said at first? Samaritans. Why are we even here? And then Jesus said, look, the harvest is white. Guys, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. This is the harvest. And this woman harvested more than you have done for your whole ministry. So this is part of understanding what the harvest is. How do we harvest? Who do we harvest? Should we only harvest the nice folks that look like us? Okay. Who is the harvest? Anybody? Everybody. Anybody and everybody. Okay. Now, it's interesting because you'll find also, if you continue, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. So this woman was a better missionary than the disciples were. And sometimes we find that. We get these new people that come to church. They go out and bring more people than all the old people combined. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, starting with verse 31. Now you know what this is about. Matthew 25, starting with verse 31. Everybody a minute to turn there. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, this is what? The second coming. And all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon his throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now this is the key. Why are they going with him into the kingdom? Think carefully. He describes these kind of people. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Hey, there's a plug for prison ministries, right? But notice the response. Notice the response. Then shall the righteous answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came unto you? They're not even aware that what they're doing is the work for Christ. It just comes naturally. Because the righteous are in love with Jesus, and they can't keep their mouths shut. Makes me feel good because I probably talk more than I should. But you know, really, if you have Jesus in your heart, it is really tough to say nothing. Okay? But these people are out, and they are feeding the hungry, they're taking care of the needy, they're visiting people in prison, they're in the hospital visiting people, they're here, they're there. And they don't even know what they're doing. They don't even realize the consequences, okay? When did we see you sick? When did we come to visit you? And the king shall say in verse 40, "Verily I say unto you, since you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." Then verse 31 goes on and talks about the opposite side. It says, "Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." I don't like that little phrase there, but this is what the scriptures teach. "For I was hungry, and you didn't give me a thing. I was thirsty, and you didn't care." I'm adding my little touch there. "You didn't give me anything to drink." Verse 43, "I was a stranger, and you thought you didn't want to mess your house up with, smelly strangers. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me." Now, you know something? I can be honest and say there's times when I didn't take people in, and I didn't clothe people, and I didn't visit people. And I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be doing all those things all the time, right? I'm too tired. I'm not sure if I want to do it today. I'm too busy. I've got other things that I'm doing. I got a board meeting. You know, sometimes we need to rethink all our spiritual tasks and which is the most important in God's eyes. But I'm not going to go there. Well, I already went there. I think I've been there enough, okay? So, verse 43, I was a stranger and you didn't take me in. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. Then shall they say unto him, or then shall he answer them, saying, or let me read that again. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not minister unto you? Notice what they didn't do. Now, some people say, Pastor, you're the minister. Who's the minister here in this picture? Everybody's a minister. That makes me feel good. I'm not all alone. You guys are all ministers too. So my job is to train you how to do my job. Is that biblical? Okay. When did we not minister unto you? And he shall answer them and say, Verily I say unto you, since you did it not to one of the least of these, you didn't do it to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. That's not a real enjoyable section of scripture. Do you know why? Because I read that and I say, I can think of all the people that I was too lazy to help or too fearful to speak up and talk to or too busy to minister to. And I'm a minister. You know, these are things we need to think about because really it's so important for us to be ministers because I don't want to pass Jesus by in anybody. And if Jesus comes and he says, you've ministered to so-and-so, I didn't even think about it. I didn't even think about it. Thank God for that. Let's go to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 43. This is our scripture reading. But the text that we just read basically said, those that help and visit others are the ones that make it into the kingdom. It's pretty strong language. Okay, those that don't do anything for anybody else, they can be Christians, they can call themselves Christians. But if we don't try, now it doesn't mean we're going to be successful every time, but if we don't try to help other people, we don't try to visit the sick, if we don't try to clothe people, I mean, we don't have that too often where we have to clothe somebody, but if we don't even try to do any of these things, it's not going to be good news when Jesus comes. So let's think about those things. That's why I'm here. My job You're paying me to do this even. My job is to tell you what the Bible says. Okay? Not to give you nice flowery stories online. People like my stories sometimes. Sometimes I tell them too much, but but my job is to tell you what the Bible says and say, this is what God wants you to know. This is God's message for you. I didn't write it. I know I'm getting gray, but I'm not that old yet. I'm just telling you what it says. And my job is to train you to follow what the scriptures teach in your life. And if the scriptures teach that each one of you should be a minister, then my job is to train you how to be ministers. Well, you guys might get paid better than I do, even though I'm a paid minister. But it's irrelevant. Money is not the point here. Not the point here. Go to Isaiah 43, 12. So if we're going to give our testimony, because part of being a minister is telling people like this woman what Jesus has done for you. If we're going to give our testimony, let's see what the scriptures teach about giving your testimony. Okay? Who are the witnesses? Isaiah 43, verse 12, it says, I have declared and have saved, I proclaimed when there was no strange God among you. In other words, when everything was going fine, no strange gods hanging around in our church. He says, therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Okay, so what are we witnessing? That he is God. Now, I'm going to give you some ideas. How do you witness to people? There's a little, I think it's in Ministry of Healing. I didn't even write it down here. But it says you're supposed to start by preaching in their face. No? Is that louder? Mingling. Mingle, mingle, mingle. Mingle. Say that quickly 5 times. So you got to mingle. Now when you mingle, do you get to preach at them? When do we preach at people? You don't preach at people. I guess I get to preach at you guys. But you know what preaching at people means? They are not listening. So how do you get people to listen to your testimony? Who do you guys like to listen to? Anybody? What's that? Somebody who is your friend. So you got to befriend people before they will listen to you. This is part of witnessing. As a matter of fact, James 1:19 gives us some counsel. So let's turn there on how we do this. And I'm not very good at this, so you'll have to pray for me. But this is really important, and I'm going to have to do this even if I don't do it great. Some people are a shoe-in. But my problem is I ramble, blah, 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 blah. I can talk. But this is giving us some different counsel than that, okay? How do you witness? James 1:19. What does it say? Ah, there you go. See that? I always like the quiet folk. Now, being quiet is a good thing. That's part of witnessing, but also you do have to speak. As a matter of fact, when we talk about talents, one of the most important talents that you have is your gift to speak. Because with your gift to speak, the gospel gets spread to the world. One of the most important talents you have. Okay, James 1:19. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? Swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. Okay, this is more talking about don't lose your temper, but in here, you'll find also a little component on how to witness to other people. You got to be a good listener, okay? If you don't listen, if I don't listen to you, will you listen to me? You ever somebody come to the door and you know they're not listening to you? What do? You say, I got to run. I'm out of here. And you're polite. I know some people who are not very polite when the people come to the door. And they just say, push them out, slam the door. Other people sit there and they wait, but they're not listening. They're thinking, how can I get this person to leave now? Okay, I've done that before. I know how it works. You know, or what happens a lot of times, because I used to go to doors. Well, I still do, probably not as much as I used to. I'd go to the door, and you'd knock on the door, and you'd see the curtain go, little eyeball sticking out, and nobody'd answer. And they say, if we don't, don't say anything. They'll go away, think we're not home. Okay. So the key is learning to listen. The key is learning to listen, okay? And going door to door is going to be a little more tougher because people have abused that. And so the door method is a little tougher. It doesn't mean it doesn't work. It just means that you're going to have less people interested in listening to you right off the bat because they've already been worn out with other people that come to the door and just want to shove things down their throat. Okay? So we're going to take a look at how we do witnessing. And I wanted to use this little acronym called FORT. And I'm going to have, can I have some deacons to help pass these cards out? I got some cards. And we've already gone over this, but we're doing this again. This is a review. This is actually part of my witnessing class. See if I can get these without losing them all. Okay. And I'll take one. Here, let me grab one. You guys can pass the rest out. And I think there's enough for everybody. I'm hoping. This is a little card you can stick in your wallet. Okay? But you'll see what it says here in a minute. I'll give you a minute. But it's dealing with FORT. FORT is a little acronym that helps us to understand how to listen. Because this is really what we're doing. We're learning how to listen. Listening is one of the most important skills. As a matter of fact, this is not only for witnessing, but this can also be a great tool for a parent because you want to learn how to listen to your kids. Kids know when you don't listen to them, okay? Now, when you listen to people, does that mean they always say things you agree with or enjoy? Listening is not a skill that's subject to what you like or dislike. You listen if you like what they say or not. Okay, and this is part of the challenge of listening. Okay? Has everybody got a card? We almost. And this is going to be a little bit of a challenge. Let me get rid of this here. Okay. So we start off with on our acronym, like I said, I know some of you have already heard this before. You start off, one of the good things to talk about is family. You say, okay, how many people have a family? Anybody have a family? I hope so. There's a few people that have no family, or there's a few people that hate their family. So you might not want to talk about family with some people, but you'll figure it out right quick if they're interested in talking about their family. But most people love to talk about their family, okay? Then you go on to occupation. People like to talk about their occupation too, what they do. So this is how you get to know people and you listen to them. Then, and this is something that's interesting, you talk to people about their religion. You say, have you ever gone to church? And they'll say, well, I went to church. I was dragged to church by the ear. Let me tell you why I hate church. Is that listening? Now, you might be surprised, but you'll find that even if people vent to you about how they hate church, you are the first person that's asked them about church in 25 years. Okay, so they can vent. Let them vent. You say, well, do you like church? Well, I hate Seventh-day Adventists. Let me tell you why. See, come on, I'm listening. We know what happens when they're done? You know exactly what not to do. Okay? If they're angry because of this, because of that, because of this. You see, you don't tell them only to give you the good information. You want to know everything about them. They know you're listening. They go on for 45 minutes. You know what ends up happening? I've had this happen too. When I can keep my mouth shut long enough, it works great. It's then the T is not their testimony, it's your testimony. After 45 minutes of venting about church, they'll say, well,
You've heard me vent about all the garbage. He said, what do you think about church?
I've had one guy tell me that. What do you think about church?
You want to hear me? What I think about it? Well, you've been listening to me for the last hour and a half. Sure, tell me what you think.
So now I can give my testimony. Because what? Because they're listening. I did this with my brother. Actually, you know what I did with my brother? Because he's not into Christianity at all. I was brought up Jewish. Okay, so he's brought up Jewish, and he's not been always treated. I remember his father-in-law hated Jews, but I got a son-in-law who is, got a relative now who's Jewish. I'll have to put up with that guy, and I won't tell you the kind of language he used about him. So he wasn't really that excited about Christianity. And then my dad got real religious, and my dad wouldn't visit with his kids because his kids all watched MTV, and I don't want to hang around with kids that watch MTV. I had to harass my dad a little bit, and I said, you do want to hang around with kids who watch MTV. Those are your grandkids. So my brother was a little miffed on religion. So I told him, I said, Jay, my older brother, I said, Jay, I'm never going to talk to you about religion. He says, deal. So I've been a friend with my brother. I talk to him. He tells me all his stories. He loves to talk. We get on the phone. We're on the phone for 3 hours. So I got to be careful not to call too often or we'll be on the phone forever. And he tells me all his stuff. He tells me how, talks about religion, talks about all sorts of stuff. Okay? I don't even have to ask him. Some people, you don't have to use this card with. Some people, you go visit with them, and the second you get there, they will start talking. And after 45 minutes, you realize you don't have to ask any questions. They're just talking, and they'll keep going. With other people, you got to kind of prompt them, a little prompter there. Okay, that's what this is for. Okay? And if you ask people about their religion, and they vent and give you lots of garbage, that's okay. You're the first person that has talked to them, or they have talked to, about religion probably in a long time. And as they listen to themselves, sometimes they even correct themselves. You know, well, I guess it's not so bad. Not everybody's a hypocrite in church. I kind of like you, you know. I know you're religious. Well, you're listening to me. This is witnessing. This is witnessing. You haven't even said anything about Jesus yet. All you have done is listen to them. You know how many people don't get listened to in this world? Especially in our culture. Our culture is so secluded. We seclude ourselves in our house. We seclude ourselves in our car. We seclude ourselves everywhere. We don't really mingle. You go to other cultures, people are on the street. People talk to each other all the time. Our culture, if you go outside and the neighbor's there, you might know what he looks like. Is there a man living over there or a woman? Do they have kids? I mean, you know more about the neighbor's dog than the neighbor. That dog won't ever quit barking. Okay? So our culture is very lonely. The people you run into, sometimes they'll have friends. Sometimes they'll have friends that are really not friends. They're just guys that hang around with them, and they all party together, and when they're done, they all go home. Okay? And so this is really an opportunity, in some respects, in our culture to be good listeners. People will respond to you. People will respond to you. Anyway, so you start off with family, occupation, then you ask them about religion. Now, you might not do this all in 20 minutes. You might actually visit somebody and only talk about their family. And then you come back the next week and talk about their occupation. Or maybe they continue on their family. It's okay. Well, I like family. And you get to religion. But each person's a little different. Some people you can get there sooner. Some people you can get there later. And when they've told you, then you say, well, can I tell you what my experience is with religion? And if they say yes, then it's time to speak. And you don't go on for 45 minutes. You give them about 5 or 10 minutes tidbit, and then you stop and they say, well, I want to hear more. Then you know you got permission. It's like my brother. I think I told this before. I told my brother, says, well, I have a question. This is after a long time, number of years. He says, what do you guys believe on this? And I said, well, I promised I wouldn't tell you anything about religion. He says, well, I want you to tell me. I said, no, I'm not going to tell you. And he says, look, Dean, I am giving you permission. Well, I don't want to preach to you. He says, no, he says, this, I want to tell me what you believe. I said, okay, now I know he's listening. So you know I'm exaggerating a slight bit. Sometimes we do that. But the bottom line is, it took a long time. And his wife, she's religious, not the same religion that we are, but she says out of, you know what she told us? And I don't want to take credit for this, but part of the credit is just not preaching to them. She said, you and Karen, I like you guys better than anybody else in the family. So they said, could we get together? This is when we went down to Utah. They wanted to go down to Utah and rent a house, and they said, we don't want anybody else in the family to come but you guys, because we like you the best. Didn't she say that, Karen? And I thought, well, why would she like us the best? We're the most religious. We're the most picky. You know, whenever Saturday comes, they want to go do stuff. Well, no, we're not going to do everything. Okay, let's accommodate them. I said, so why do you want to do stuff with us, man? We're no fun on Sabbath. I don't know what it was. But part of it was the way I treated my brother and his wife. And the same with Karen. So these are good principles. They work with family. You know, if you've got kids, it's important. Now notice what it says on the back of the card. Did you guys see what it says on the back of the card? There's a number of ways to learn things. One, I can just tell you about it. That's what I'm doing right now. I can show you, and you'll remember, but if I actually take you, or if you go out and visit different people and try it yourself, you know what happens? Now you understand. Now you've got it down. Okay, so that's actually a little Chinese saying that I think is good for us to think about. So I was going to ask Jerry, where's Jerry? Oh, there he is, that's right. Next to his wife, where else would he be, right? We're going to try this. Now, I know this is not really a good way to do this. Let me get you a microphone. This is not really a good way to do this because we're up front and we're kind of on the spot. And it's not natural, as if you're just visiting with somebody. But, okay, I come over to visit with Jerry. Take my glasses off. Okay, and I don't show him this card. Jerry, you know what we're going to talk about today? Let me show you. Here's the list. Okay. You don't do that, okay? So I say, hey, Jerry, I'm sitting in Jerry's living room. I say, hey, Jerry, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good.
Well, good, good, good. Hey, tell me, have you always lived in Hermiston? Now, see, when you're talking about family, you can talk about where people live. Have you always lived in Hermiston?
For the most part of my life, I have, yes.
Oh, you mean you've never lived anywhere else?
I've lived in a couple other countries. Well, in Haiti for a year.
Oh, well, what were you doing in Haiti? Now, see, when I'm done, you're going to know stuff about Jerry that you probably never knew.
Student missionary down there.
Ah, so you were there for a year? Mm-hmm. So what did they have you do?
Teaching English.
Ah.
Conversational English.
Conversational
Nothing
English?
Nothing technical.
Now, they speak what language down there?
Well, the main language that everybody speaks is Creole, but French is the formal language.
Do you know any French?
Very little.
Not enough.
Very little.
So, but it went well for you to be able to teach them down there, huh?
Well, I didn't have to know any other language but English.
Ah, because they were trying to learn your language. So you were there for a year. Mm-hmm. How old were you?
I had 1 year of college.
Okay. So you were a little kid, huh?
Kind of.
21 or 20 or something?
Yeah, probably 19.
19. Ooh, yeah. Imagine Jerry when he was 19.
That's hard to
imagine. Now, see, do you see what I'm doing? I'm not even talking about family yet. I'm just asking about places that he's lived. So, and it's harder if somebody has lived somewhere else and I've lived there too. I say, I know where that's at. Do you know where it is? And they're like, yeah. So, well, I've lived in Hermiston before.
For how long?
See, about 3 years now. Are you the guy that lives down the block on 10th Street?
Close, yeah.
Yeah, right there.
About 500 feet back off the road.
I've seen your house, yeah, yeah. So, okay, anyways, but I'm at his house, so I won't be saying that part. Okay, so Jerry, are you married?
I am, yes.
And what's your wife's name? Just curious.
Linda Johnson.
Linda.
We've been married for, what, 37 years, I think?
Well, I'd love to meet your wife.
Well, would you like to meet her right now?
No. Hi, Linda. Now, you see why I'm saying up front, this is kind of different. I'd love to meet your wife. Let's go meet her, okay? Or, oh, she's in the other room, or she's going to be home in an hour. I'll say, well, hang around until she gets home. But you know something? Let me tell you a trick. That's a good word. This is a cue that will help you. If Jerry has a dog, now you guys have a black dog, don't you?
It's a mix.
Mix.
Brown and black.
Brown and black. Okay, because I saw Linda walking it. And I think we've met your doggy one time because they babysat our dog, which unfortunately passed away this week. But if you befriend somebody's dog, you know what happens? If the dog doesn't bite you. If the dog does bite you, then it'll make it a little more difficult with the relations. But if you pet their dog, and you take the kitty cat and pet him, and the cat starts running its V8, you know what you've just done? You have befriended their family, and you are now one of the family. So, if you're not a dog lover or a cat lover, ask God for grace. So you can love the little doggies and the cats and the kids, because if they have kids, your kids are a little older these days.
Yes.
But if they have kids and you say hello to the kids and ask the kids their name, you are going to be on the top of the list. Because most people who come over, they don't want to get that dog away from me, you know. Get that cat away from me, all those noisy kids. Okay, but if you're part of the family, so this is part of witnessing, treating the people in their family or the animals, even if it's goldfish. You know, Jerry, is that your fish tank? Tell me about your family. This is big Goldie and that's little Goldie. Okay?
Now
this is a good point here, when you're trying to talk about family, because we haven't even got the occupation yet, but time's running on. I say, well, is this your mom? The picture's on the wall here. Is this your family?
Yes, it is.
Is this your mom here?
Yes, and that's my dad here over here on the left.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then I've got siblings here. I've got three brothers and a sister.
Great. Oh, and who are these folk over here?
I think that's the neighbors.
Oh, that's the neighbors. Are they family?
Close. I've got one.
I'm just curious, why you put the neighbors on the
I've got a neighbor right over here.
Oh, okay, there you go. That's family neighbor, right? Okay, but you see how you do it. So now I go to occupation. Now I'm making this a little comical, but truly all you do, you know, you just ask, who are these people? If they have pictures on the wall, you know what that means? They kind of like them. So who is this? Oh, this is Joe, and this is my sister, and this is my cousin, and, you know, this is my neighbor. You're not going to find that too often, but. Okay, so what do you do for a living, Jerry? I'm just curious.
I do construction.
Construction. Do you work on roofs, or do you work on, are you like the guy who does the underground? See, if you know something a little bit about occupations, I've done some construction, so I can kind of relate. But if I don't, let me say one thing first. But if I don't know anything about what he's talking about, I say, well, tell me, what does a construction guy do? Let me tell you. What did a construction guy do?
We do a fair amount of building houses, and we do mostly pretty much the whole thing with the exception of heating and plumbing and wiring
and
the duct work. But a lot of the rest of it we do.
So you're like more of a...
General contractor.
Mm-hmm. Carpenter?
Mm-hmm.
You like throwing a hammer?
Yeah, I do. It's getting a little bit older.
Oh, you mean you're getting a little bit older?
Nail guns and stuff now more so.
That's true. You
just
go along. So, So what do you like about work? What kind of stuff do you like the most?
I like seeing things coming together. Ah. And it just gives you a satisfaction when things come together nicely.
So you're a builder. So did you build your house?
Mm-hmm.
So now if I'm in his house, I'll say, well, I want a tour.
Yep.
So he gives me a tour. He says, this is what I've done. Now, there was one time, I think I told this story before, but there was one fellow we went to visit, and he was retired. Okay? And so I say, well, what do you do? What are you doing that you're retired? He says, let me show you. Great. So he pulled me out of the living room, took me out into his back room, actually out the door, into the garage, and showed me he makes all these little wood, I'm not sure exactly what they call them, but he has like a bandsaw, and he cuts out all these woods, kind of wood pictures that he cuts in wood. And he just was so proud to show me all this stuff. He says, you know, you're the first person that's even looked at this stuff. I do this, I don't show anybody. So I said, well, show me how to do it. So he's showing me on the bandsaw and all that. And we were just like that, in no time flat. Mm-hmm. Jerry, are you working on the roof? I'll come up and help you.
Not at this moment, but yes, I'll be doing some more of that.
But you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you really want to connect with people, it's going to take time. But help them out.
That's when you can really start sharing then, is when you're together doing something.
If Jerry is a mechanic and I go over there and he's under the car, I'll say, so what are you fixing? He says, oh, no. He said, could you get me the wrench? Sure, here's the wrench. Which one is the wrench? He'll tell you. Okay? But you want to connect with him. Okay, so your family, occupation, these are the things that connect with people. Then you go on to religion. So were you brought up going to church?
Yes.
What church?
This church, Seventh-day Adventist.
Ah. Well, what does Seventh-day Adventist believe? I'm curious.
Well, there's a lot of things. Which church are you in? Maybe I can give you some of the differences then.
Oh, well. see what I'm saying? It doesn't work well. I think I've seen you at my church. But tell me, what are some of the things that, if you're going to give it in a nutshell, what kind of things? I mean, do you like going to church?
Yes. One of the main things is we expect Jesus coming soon.
Oh, second coming. Mm-hmm. Great. I've heard of that one before.
That's probably the top on my list.
The top? Okay. So he's going to, like, come the second time? And
mm-hmm.
And everybody's going to, is he going to come to, like, the Capitol? Or?
Yes.
And visit with President Trump? Or how is that going
to
work?
The whole world.
Is he flying in on Southwestern? Or?
Go outside and look up and you'll see
okay.
All kinds of light.
See, what I'm doing is I'm asking him more about his religion. Now, if he was Catholic, if he was a Muslim, this would be great. Because how many know what it's like to be a Muslim? Anybody been a Muslim here? You can say, well, I've never been to a Islamic church, okay? Is it a church? Well, no, it's a mosque. And do they have chairs? No, we all sit on the floor. I mean, a whole different world. And they can explain this to you, and they love people who are interested in what they're interested in, you see. Mm-hmm. Then when I'm done, and I'm going to wind this up here, then I'll say to Jerry, yeah, Jerry, I go to church too. And then he'll say, well, he already said it, actually. Well, which church do you go to? Mm-hmm. I say, well, I go to the Hermiston SDA Church. Oh, well, what do they believe? That's a good question. So this is my opportunity to tell them about Jesus. So this is how it works. And you can do this not only with Jerry. Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah.
You've been a big help. I don't want to... Oh, there are extra cards. Okay. I don't want to keep us here too long. But you can do this with anybody. You can do this with anybody. And the people that benefit the most are the ones that are quite different than you. It benefits you also, because you get to know people like you've never known them before. And you're friends with them. You connect with them. Okay? It's like, I don't think Amy's here. I don't think she's here this week. But Amy is a lady that I got to meet through Judy. And I went over to her house, and I sat and listened to her boys and to her, and she just told me her story about her family. Pretty crazy situation. pretty drastic situation. I'm not going to go into the detail, but when I was done listening for 45 minutes, the boys felt like I was one of the family. And they wanted to hug me. Well, I gave them all a hug. Hey, you guys are family. But they're still in process, and this is a process. And they've actually come to church a number of times, which is great, which is great. And sometimes they don't make it because they're not in the habit. But you know, have any of you ever started coming to church and not made it every week? Or been busy? Or the devil messes up your Saturday? Ever had that happen? So this is really what witnessing is all about. Now I wanted to finish with one text. So the key to this witnessing is you do it personally, but I'd also want to encourage you, we're trying to form more visitation teams. So if anybody is interested, and I'll give you a hint, if you're a little shy and you don't know if you want to go out on a visitation team, we can send you out with somebody else and you can do all the praying. You just pray and you don't have to say a word, and the other person will do all the questioning or the talking and all that kind of stuff. And when you ask people questions, you don't want to make it like the Inquisition either. Tell me about your family. Tell me about your occupation. Tell me about your religion. Now! You want to be a friend, okay? You're not... And some people don't like getting questions asked them. So you just go over there and you maybe ask one question and leave it, okay? So you got to have wisdom, but this comes with practice. This is really what it's all about. So let's go back to our Bible, and I want to close with Isaiah 52, verse 7. Because this is really the key. This is really the key to what people will think about witnessing. What people will think about a witness. A true witness. One who likes to listen. And then you'll have your opportunity, obviously, to tell the gospel. And you want to tell the gospel. When you tell your testimony, you can say, God has blessed me with the Sabbath. But the real key is that you tell them why you are in love with Jesus. What has Jesus done to change my life? Okay? And you can say, yeah, he's changed my life by giving me Sabbath, and I just love it. It's the greatest day of the week. You can say that. But don't just tell them doctrines. Tell them why you're in love. That's the key. Isaiah 52, verse 7. Isaiah 52, verse 7. Says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings. Do you guys want to have beautiful feet? Maybe some of you say, well, you don't want to see my feet, Pastor. But you can have feet that don't look pretty, but that are beautiful. This is how. How do you have beautiful feet? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring good tidings, that publishes peace. Peace that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that says unto Zion, your God reigns. That's our job. That's our job to say that. So, if you're interested in being part of a visitation team, which is what we'd like to do in our church, because we have a lot of people that don't get visited even in our church, but then we got the whole community to visit. How in the world can we visit the whole community if we just have one or two people? We need some visitation teams. So there's a number of things you can do. You can call Sharon, our secretary, and say, I'd like to be on a visitation team. You can talk to me. You can talk to other people. You can talk to our head elder, Jim. You can talk to Ben. You can talk to other people who are involved doing some visiting and just say, can I go along with you guys on a visit? I mean, Jerry does visiting. There's a number of people that does visiting. And so you can talk to those folks and get involved. And it's not mandatory that you go out once a week. You can go once a month. You don't want to go once a year. You're not going to get much visiting in. But you want to go enough where you have an opportunity to learn how to do it, because you're all witnesses, right? Not only to learn how to do it, but to be a blessing to somebody else and find somebody for Jesus. The greatest thing you can do in your life is find somebody for Jesus. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Please help us, all of us, to realize we are witnesses. Even the people who've just started coming to church, just like the woman at the well. All of us have something to say about Jesus. Help each one of us to have wisdom, to be good listeners, to have wisdom on how to do that listening, to take time. You know, all of us have the same amount of time, but help us to take time for other people, not only for our family, but for other people that need Jesus. We just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would guide us, open the doors, and help us to take that time so we can reach others for Christ. If it means a few hours a week, if it means a little more, help us to witness to our neighbor. Help us to witness to our relatives. Help us to be able to be even good listeners to our kids. Maybe our kids that aren't coming to church anymore, have no interest. Help us to be good listeners. Maybe we can draw them back. I just pray your Holy Spirit would guide each one of us, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.